Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your weekly podcast brought to you by Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. My name is Gio, and I am the youth leader of said ministry. And as always, with us is my father and pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio, for once again allowing me the privilege to share with you the podcast pulpit. And I think the Lord has given us a good word for this occasion.
Absolutely. We wanted to talk a little bit about, well, let me preface it by saying this. I think that you more than I, because you've lived a longer time than I have, and you've seen how things have changed in the world, how things have changed in the way that we relate to one another. This is human beings to human beings. And I think that we have moved from being a socially interactive culture to one being a virtually, or rather a virtual interactive culture. Now, what does that mean? Back in the old days, we would get together, we would go out, we would sit down at our local restaurant or local coffee shop, whatever the case may be, and just sit down and chat and strike up a conversation about anything and everything, just having a good time, just to give an instance of it. And nowadays, it seems that, yes, people might still be going out to the coffee shops, for example, but they're not there sitting and talking to a person. What they're doing is that they're taking out their laptops and they're talking to people via the web. And it seems to be like we're always in this rush, and everything is so electronically based and nowadays. And believe it or not, this has had an effect in the family nucleus. This has had an effect in our relationships. It's had an effect in the way that the new generation is behaving. And I think we need to delve deep into this to diagnose the problem, because we've got a whole new generation of young people growing up or being raised on this new technologically advanced era, and they're not seeing that once they're engulfed by it, it pretty much affects their life in a very negative way.
I think the film Back to the Future tackled this many years ago. Remember that Marty gets hit, and the family that takes him, and he's in a gets hit by an automobile.
Yeah.
And then this family has just purchased a TV. And he talks about a rerun.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I've already seen this. And look at him like he's a nut. What do you mean you've already seen this? And so it can be argued from what angle the issue was being tackled. But nevertheless, it was being presented. And lo and behold, many years later, we have this situation that resembles that scene, because the family used to gather around the meal to have conversations and enjoy a time of fellowship. It's no longer that way. And when you look at what is the main reason behind that decay and erosion in the family setting around the meal, it has to be technology. Of course, somebody would say, oh, these are anti-tech people. We're not. We've got the gadgets.
Yeah.
We've got the gears. We're just saying that it's abused, and we've allowed it to intrude and to take over areas that we should have never given up to technology or anything else.
Well, that's a very good point. And for example, expounding on your point is the following: the privacy issues. We find that more and more corporations that are offering social media, social networks like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, whatever the case may be, these people are, Google especially, they're looking into new technologies where they can access more private areas of people's lives. And then they say, no, it's all in the name of advertising dollars. It's all in the name to provide a better product for our people, for the people that subscribe to our services. But in reality, we see that Google is in bed with the government, for example. Why would the government want to find out anything there is to know about anybody? Well, it has to be about control. But then the point here is, these people would have never tried to reach these points if it would not have been first the people would be willing to discuss these things in an online forum on the internet, where everyone can pretty much see anything that anybody posts there. And we're talking about things, and you've seen them. I've seen them, the absurd things that people post, for example, on Facebook. I'm in the bathroom now, LOL. And things that no one should know about. These are private things that people are exposing themselves and putting themselves out there. That's one point. And the second point I wanted to expound upon was you talking about Back to the Future. It's interesting that they revisit that point in the second part, in the second part of the series, where we see that Marty and Doc, they go to the future, and we see that Marty's family, they're all in their own corner. You see the kid is watching TV on one corner of the house. The girl is doing something else. Marty comes in, and he's doing his own thing. And that's exactly what has happened. It was almost like a prophecy, if you will, if we can use that word, of what would occur with technology. It would split the family into different sectors.
Well, we have what I call a self-imposed isolation situation. Because slowly but surely, we need to understand that we are in the generation that studies social habits, human behavior. And I would venture to say, this is just my opinion, that the reason behind these studies is to understand what humans do. And then once you understand that, you can manipulate humans a little better. You can control them a little better. And so you profit from that and you control them. And so you profit even more. And so they have found a way for humans to get into a situation where it's self-imposed isolation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And of course, somebody would argue, it's just talking about multiplication. It's talking about procreation, husband and wife situation. No, I don't think so. You see, Gio, when God created the angels, he created millions of them without having to go through the multiplication process. So in the multiplication process, we're being told something. And there are these years, the formative years, and the years where parents become attached to the kids and vice versa. And so you have the family setting and the fusion that goes on. Now, when you look at the family, the child is in one corner, mom is in another corner, dad is in another corner. They're in the same room, but they're isolated. And we have seen by the studies that have been done in inmates where they punish them by isolating them, they basically go into this world of self, this world of isolation. And notice that it is a punishment when an inmate goes overboard with his behavior. He behaves improperly. He is usually sent to solitary. And I've heard some of the inmates that come out of there saying, you can go crazy there.
Yeah.
You lose touch with reality. And notice, once again, it's punishment. And so this is why I call what we're doing to ourselves or what we are allowing these companies to do to us self-imposed isolation. And at the end, it's going to be very, very damaging. Because like God himself said, it's not good for men to be alone. And so we can be in a room with 500 other people, but we've got our earpieces on and we've got our laptops and we're in a world all by ourselves, self-imposed.
Well, the difference, I guess, between the isolation and the solitary that the inmates would experience and the difference between a young person, being at the TV or at the laptop alone, away from his family, the only difference there is the following. One has something that is numbing his mind, whereas the other one has nothing, but the effect is the same. You're creating a bubble all to yourself. So at the end of the day, what we're seeing is that, and it's a good example that you just gave, you see that people have abused technology, and not only have they abused it, but they have become a slave to technology. Now you see individuals saying, I can't live without my, fill in the space, the cell phone, my laptop, my computer, whatever the case may be. And then you hear other individuals maybe say it in a different manner, but it's the same thing. They are saying that they are extremely dependent upon the current technology. I can't live without my, and of course you fill in the blank. And the point is, when you look at the shift from the Industrial Revolution on to what is known as the dot-com boom, there was a huge paradigm shift even in the way that children would react. For example, at least when I was growing up, and we're just talking about, a couple of decades ago, I was born in 1984, during that time, you still saw kids going outside and they were playing with each other, and interactivity, social interactivity was key. We would go out to the parks. We couldn't wait to get home and even finish our homework because we wanted to go out and play basketball, and we just wanted to be outside. We wanted to, you know, experience creation and just get along with other people and have a fun time. Nowadays, I'm strolling down the streets and I barely see any children playing outside. And now as a youth pastor, and you as a pastor have seen it also, you see a lot of these parents are coming to you and they're telling you, hey, pastor, my kid won't get away from the television. My kid doesn't, he's addicted to video games. And that's a word that's used, and it's appropriate because they are. It's like they can't let go of it. This is what they're thinking about 24 hours a day, and they can't get away from it. And then we see that as these young people start growing up, they never mature. They never develop any social skills. They never develop any business savvy, business skills. They're pretty much stuck at that age of, what, 10, 11 years old, of always thinking about immature ideas and immature things. And it's affecting the next generation, and we're pretty much in a bad place now.
Well, let's examine what you just said and the issues that we have in our society. What we have is a complete generation that lives in a virtual, a non-real situation. You not only have it through the use of computers, but even in the small amount of times that they would spend with each other, talking about young people, they alter reality via drug use. So the amount of time that they spend in the real world is the one that they're forced to spend, school time, and they disconnect because they go into their daydreams. Yeah. So what are the effects of the machines and the drugs and the ability to shut down your mind to the point where you have no idea what the professor or your parents have just said? Number one, we have a generation of fat kids, because a virtual playground will not give your heart a workout.
Yeah,
it will not burn fat. It will not burn calories. It's an activity. So we're going to have health issues just around the corner. Number two, we've noticed a growth in antisocial behavior. How can you develop your social skills if you are never around in society? When you are there, you are in an altered state of mind. And so what you have is a completely dysfunctional generation that is coming up at a tremendous pace, at a tremendous speed. And I don't know what's going to happen, Gio, but I'm thinking that more and more house arrests, more and more people spending time on their house jails, because our jails are bursting at the seams. They're allowing people to go out, criminals, because they have no more space. We can't afford the amount of money that it takes to house people in jails. And so hopefully we won't reach that place that third world countries are in, where you have to take the meals to your sons and daughters who are incarcerated because the government cannot feed them. We are headed into a nasty place, into a nasty situation. And I'm not calling myself a prophet, and I know you're not, but these things have nothing to do with prophetic vision. It's just simple math. 2 and 2 equals 4. And I think we are headed into a very, very ugly place, a very, very nasty situation.
Well, Jesus said, you can look out and you look into the sky and you see it's getting a little gray and a little cloudy, and you can come to the conclusion, it looks like it's going to rain.
It's going to pour today.
So, you know, some people might say, oh, you guys are prophetic, or some might say, that's not prophecy, and so we're despising your word. No, you see the trends and you see the things that are the way that they're being built up. And even now, we're paying the effects, we're paying the price for having our children watch TV in one room while we're in another room watching TV, and having them at the mercy of the Hollywood elite and of those that want to indoctrinate our children. You know what I find the most ironic thing out of all of this is the following. The parents, they go out and they buy the television, they go out and buy the computer for the kid, right? And knowing that there is a society out there, there's a small portion of the elite culture out there that wants to try to really stamp something, you know, that's evil in the heart and minds of our children, they're out there and they use these means. And instead of regulating those means for the children, they openly buy them, and without any restriction whatsoever, we give these things to our children and say, have at it. And then years go by and we ask ourselves, what happened? Why did my child turn out this way? And then we resort to the easy thing to do, and it's pretty malicious on our part. We begin to blame God. when all God said, he's like, here are your kids. They're your responsibility. This is a privilege that you have as a parent to raise your kids, to rear your kids in the admonition and discipline of the Lord. You need to do that, and you need to take every step. And I think that part of the reason is, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think it's that people have this very benign view about the culture and about society, and they generally think, oh, people aren't as bad as the Bible portrays them to be, or as bad as preachers like you guys make them out to be. I didn't say it. The Bible tells me that even the most, how would I say this, the most benign person out there still sins. So imagine those that aren't so benign, and they're out there, and they will use these means to try to inculcate some very evil stuff into the hearts and minds of our children.
I have to throw in there, Gio, poor parenting skills. Because as a father, as a mother, how can you sit there and go like, yeah, it's okay, I'm going to give my child this that at the end will hurt him. Look, there are plenty of people out there who have already picked up on the fact that it's okay to have technology. It's not okay to abuse it. And they limit their kids. And by that, I mean you can watch TV only so much, maybe just on weekends. You can only have the computer for this type of schoolwork, etc. And then they yank them away from that. And the parents who successfully do this, they will be rearing up kids that will be the money makers, the movers, and the shakers, because they will not be trapped in this mentality that is trapping kids today, where at the end of the day, Gio, the social skills are gone. They're fat, they're lazy, they're rebellious, they don't have time for school, they don't want to do anything with school. Reality for them is something that they need to get away from. And we know that at a certain point, reality is going to hit and they won't be ready for it.
Yeah.
And so their behavior turns even more destructive. It's happening right now. How many people are saying, I got to fire you because your phone is always going off, or you're visiting the web on your phone, or you're using my computers and the time that I'm paying you for labor to do this, that, and the other thing. It's an addiction. It's a habit. So the issues are already here. They are at our shores.
Yeah.
And God help us, because I think we have very difficult times ahead.
And I think also what we see a negative outcome out of all of this technology age is you begin to see how young people are so in the world, and that's expounding on a point that you brought earlier. They're so stuck in their little fantasy world of unicorns and modern warfare and Angry Bird games and whatever the case may be. They're so stuck in this world that they never learn to be socially aware. Now, let me say that with all respect, with all care, because some people might say, hey, I know that you guys have spoken out against psychology and whatnot. What I mean by social awareness is, for example, being up to date, being up to par with what's happening around you culturally, because you as an individual need to be informed.
Like knowing who the vice president is?
Exactly.
You ask a bunch of kids, who is the vice president? And they'll go like, is that the guy who's got a lot of vice?
Exactly. So you get a lot of dumb answers, and even in the high school level, and you begin to, well, of course, we have to throw in there, the standards are pretty much low nowadays, but again, I digress. The teachers nowadays, I mean, even a lot of the teachers, I remember when I was in high school, you begun to see a lot of the influx of these teachers that you would ask them certain questions. You would think these are the teachers, they're supposed to know about these subjects. And when you ask them about something, it was like they were in La La Land somewhere. I remember a history teacher. I had a history teacher for my senior year in high school. And he went on to say that it was not Abraham Lincoln that freed the slaves, but it was Malcolm X. He actually said that. He actually said that. And I remember sitting in class and I'm saying, I cannot believe that I know more about the Civil War and what led to the Civil War and the aftermath than my own history teacher knows. So again, this is something that has been, again, like you said, on our shores. It's been coming for a long time. And I think it works both ways. First, the parents, they have to see that this abuse is not present in their own lives. And they also have to see that their kids are not abusing it either. And secondly, the young people that listen to our program, make sure that you're not abusing it. Because if you're stuck in that world is very hard to leave behind as you're growing up.
Well, I'm going to finish with this. I'm still chewing over the Malcolm X freed the slaves. And on the other side of my mouth, I've got Al Gore, who invented the internet. So I'm just going to say goodbye while I still chew on that, and perhaps we'll comment on it next week.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a good point to bring up. A lot of people might listen to what we're talking about today, and they say, oh, this is kind of simpleton stuff. This is really easy to digest. Sometimes it's the simple things in life that we ignore, which bring us the biggest headaches, and it's just because we ignore the simple things in life. And I guess to finish off the program, one characteristic that we've seen that this whole techno-savvy generation has missed out on is simply enjoying life. We see people that they're constantly in a hurry, and this technology that was supposed to make our lives easier, people are so caught up in it and they're so in a hurry to do things that they have just completely forgotten to stop, reflect, and enjoy the God-given gifts that He has given us.
Well, let me go back to being simple. We've gotten into so many deep thoughts that we forgot logic. And so let's be logical again. Let's be simple again. And that'll help us think things through in a simple and logical way. And we should come out on the other side quite all right. If not, we've got issues.
Amen. We'll leave you with this. Psalm 90, verse 11 and 12. Or rather, just verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. That'll definitely, you know, I think that pretty much stamps it. So
amen.
Thank you for being with us again. And we want to thank you, the listener, for continuing to listen to these podcasts. We hope that you are sharing them with your friends and family members, co-workers, co-students, whatever the case may be. They also need to know the truth of the matter in a world full of uncertainty. This is Absolute Truth Absolutely. You can visit us at our website, lwym.org/ATA. If you have any questions or comments, please write those and direct them at ATA@lwym.org. Until the next episode, we wish you adieu, and may the Lord shine His face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.